Tonight on WISN, Milwaukee County's parks, the good and the bad. A nearly $9 million surplus for Milwaukee County, and water for Waukesha. Those stories and more inside the county board starts right now.
More ideas.
Different points of view.
In-depth discussion.
And thoughtful analysis.
Welcome to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Your exclusive look inside Milwaukee County government.
Here's your host, Harold Mester.
Good evening, Milwaukee County. The May 2nd edition of Inside the County Board. Thanks for listening on the air and online. Great show in store for you tonight, including Milwaukee County's Parks, Supervisor Jerry Broderick, and Parks Director Sue Black. They will join us in a moment to talk about some exciting events coming up, and we'll visit the challenges facing the parks in 2010. The County Board Roundtable, featuring an in-depth discussion on the county's budgeting successes and failures over the past year. And we will be joined by County Supervisors Elizabeth Coggs and Jim Luigi Schmidt. Plus, water in Waukesha and the impact on Milwaukee County as we debut a new segment on tonight's program from the County Board floor. First up, Supervisor Broderick, Chairman of the County Board's Parks, Energy, and Environment Committee, and Parks Director Sue Black. Thanks to both of you for being with us this evening.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be with you.
Well, we're talking about the parks, which are probably one of the more high-profile services that Milwaukee County offers to our citizens. They're an important part of many neighborhoods, both more wealthy and the more poor neighborhoods. I think this is one of the services that probably are most treasured within all of Milwaukee County. So I think it's important to start with that topic tonight on the show this evening. Now, Parks Director Black, you and your team recently were awarded the National Gold Medal Award for Parks Management. That was from the National Recreational and Park Association.
Right.
And so we wanted to start off congratulating you and your team on that. That was a huge victory.
Well,
sure.
Thank you for saying that about the team, because it really took everybody to do this. It took County Executive Scott Walker. It took the county board. It took my staff. It took our friends groups. It took the philanthropists, the corporate people that help us. I mean, it's an award for everybody. It's not a Sue Black thing, but for the community, what we've been able to do with the park system, I'm real proud of that.
Well, and we're going to kind of springboard off of that and talk about some of the exciting things coming up. Certainly, there are challenges facing the parks, but we do want to, for our listeners, mention some of the bigger events coming up this summer that we can look forward to.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I want everybody to do, is to look at the website at countyparks.com. We're in the process of trying to update the website, but in the meantime, it's what we've got. But to take a look at that. So when it's a weekend or a weeknight and you're looking for something to do, just always refer to that, because there's something going on every night of the week, whether it's the concert series, things that are going on down at Bradford Beach, down at Burnett Botanical Gardens. You know, it goes on and on. In fact, I've got a calendar in front of me here, and there literally is something every day. So, and it's all affordable, too. I think that's one of the neat things. One of the newest things I think that we've brought back to life is Bradford Beach, and it's just going to be absolutely spectacular this summer. On Thursday nights, we're starting the acoustic music. You know, we had some challenges early on with the music being too loud, so we've really toned it down. We're going to have volleyball leagues there. I think there's like 70 teams or something like that on Thursday nights. And it's just something that I'm real proud of. When you look at what it was like, you know, 6 or 7 years ago to what it is now, I think it's just really a fun place to play.
Yeah, and that's, you know, folks haven't been down to Bradford Beach recently. I mean, there's really been a rebirth of that beach with is it called the Boathouse, or what is that, where the concessions are?
Well, everybody's got a different name for it, but it is the Boathouse, you know. And we also have 6 other beaches. That's one of the things that I'm looking forward to the future, is what are we doing down at Grant Beach? What are we doing at South Shore Beach, et cetera, all the way down to Bender? So I just want to really, you know, the lakefront is one of our best assets, and I, you know, I know we can do a better job, but Bradford is kind of our biggest one. So,
yeah,
but the air show is coming too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say the air show is another free. There's a lot of free opportunities here this summer.
Yeah, and I think that's because, you know, you get all the sponsorships and things behind it. But the air show is going to be fantastic, and well, you're the pilot. The F-22 is my understanding.
Oh, the Raptor.
The
yes.
Raptor. That we're going to be one of the only cities that gets the Raptor coming, so I'm pretty excited about that. We've got the new aquatic center. I mean, last year it just opened with the Dave Schultz, so all the pools will be open. We're staggering the wading pools like we had done in the past and what have you. We'll do extended hours when it hits that heat wave. I think, and the golf, you know, golf is really what somewhat sustains the system, and you see people are have been golfing, you know, March and April. We had just such a mild winter that those are in full operational mode. And I'll tell you that, that's about 50% of our revenue. So golf is huge. So, you know, with 15 courses and, you know, a course for every type of play, that's something that we put a lot of attention to.
Speaking of golf, I know that there was some coverage in the newspaper of this recently, the par 3 golf courses.
Yeah. I knew that'd be a good segue from the golf right into
appreciate
that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sue.
Sure.
You made my job easier.
Yeah.
So what are these Iron Rangers? It's a self-service way for people to pay for their par 3 golfing.
Yeah, well, let me start by saying I think it was the right thing to do, but to the public and how it rolled out, that I'll take full responsibility for that. But at the end of the day, I wanted to make more money. And the par threes don't traditionally open until May, and they close at the end of September, but people are still playing on those shoulder seasons. So we did the Iron Rangers at all the dog parks. If anybody knows, we didn't have any dog parks when we got here. And I'm like, how could a community this size not have dog parks? But of course, you can't staff them. You can't have somebody sit there. So as it's done all over the country, it's a self-pay station. And then you have rangers or park workers come and check and make sure that everybody's paid. And there was no difference on the par threes. I mean, we're still going to staff them. We're still going to have people there. We still have league play, et cetera. If anybody knows anything about me, that's one of the things that I've tried to do is to raise the revenue. If you look at the budget, we have about $20 million in tax levy and about $20 million in revenues. And so we really have to run like a business, I would say, more than a lot of other government agencies. So if I can capture some revenue with nobody there and then have some of the staff come around and spot check, if you will. In fact, we've had some real success so far because they're not even open yet, but there's a lot of people that are playing that they're actually using them now. But it's an education thing, because if you've done it at the boat launches, if you've had the self-pay at the dog parks, at what have you, wherever they're at. But I think at the golf courses, that was something new and could have been handled a little bit more gingerly on how we rolled that out.
Well, Channel 12 did a story on it, and they were interviewing people who were going on camera saying, look, I'm not going to pay that if they're not there to collect it. I mean, do you think that's actually going to happen? I mean, people are out there saying they're going to do it.
I would say no. Well, I mean, that's why we have spot checkers. You know, I mean, people... What would be a good example? Your fishing license. You know, I mean, that's completely on it. You can go fishing, but if you get caught without a fishing license, you know what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the second phase of this is the enforcement side.
Is there a receipt that you get?
Yep. Okay. It's just like a little envelope, and they're sitting right there, and there's serial code, and you put your money in, and you rip the thing off and put it in the envelope, and then you've got that with you when you're out on the course. So let's say I would have somebody out actually doing the turf maintenance, and then also somebody sitting in the starter shack. That person that's out doing the turf maintenance, I mean, I've had to become more creative on how we do this. I mean, everybody sees the budget's going down, so that's what we're trying to do, is to capture more of that revenue when there might be somebody that's playing that would otherwise have walked on during those shoulder seasons, and capture whatever revenue you can. And the other thing I've had is tell the golf starters when they start on the first is to help everybody. You know, when you go to the airport, you know, and you could either put your credit card in and put yourself on, or a lot of people feel more comfortable with going to the attendant to help you. But I said, you know, even if the attendant's there, just teach everybody how to use it, you know, as they come in. And like I said, at the dog parks, if it's a busy Saturday at the beginning of the season, I would staff somebody there, you know, make $600 and what have you, and then everybody knows.
Okay, so this is actually going to be a net increase in revenue, you're saying?
Well, I mean, obviously, but weather is huge on how many people are going to golf and how many rounds you do. But if you look at year to date, because I always look at, you know, where were we at last year? We're up this year in revenue so far. And so I'm happy about that. And again, $10 million coming in golf, that's a big part of my budget to watch what's going on. So to lose money, absolutely not. I mean, why would anybody go into something?
Well, maybe we can, you know, this fall after the season's over, get an update from you on this, see how it went.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of these courses is in your district, Supervisor Broderick, Lake Park.
It certainly is a Lake Park golf course. And I've had a relatively negative reaction to the idea that it's not going to be manned, but budgetary shortfalls, you know, they have to be made up somewhere. And this is one of the areas where the Parks Administration has deemed it necessary to do so. You know, those of us raised here are imbued with a deep sense, I think, of attachment to our park system and a respect for those visionaries who put it together, the Dretzkas and the McGoverns and the Whitnalls of the world. And it's one of the primary responsibilities of the Parks, Energy, and Environment Committee, which I chair, to ensure the well-being of those parks over time. But, of course, today that is not an easy task because we simply lack the resources to do it.
Well, we're going to get into that here. I understand that, Sue, you have to head out, but Supervisor Broderick, you're going to stick around. But I want to thank you, Sue, for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want everybody to enjoy the summer, enjoy the parks, get out and use them. You know, the whole stay local, play local. And a lot of people ask me, what can I do to help the park system? And I'm just use it. You know, that it's yours. Like I said, it's not my park system. It's our park system. And just thanks for having me on.
Sure. And, you know, and we understand you have to work with both branches of government here. I mean, when we have a Parks Committee meeting, you're sitting at the table, you're trying to work with as many people as you can. I mean, you know, you report to the county executive, but you also want the board to be on your side. And I think largely you've been successful in that regard.
Well, thanks for saying that. And for me, I think everybody knows that the proof is in the pudding. What I really work for is the constituents and people that are using the parks and the community at large, because we really do have one of the best park systems in the world, and we just need to take care of it.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Supervisor Broderick, despite winning the gold medal for management, the actual condition of some of our parks facilities, you've told me you find absolutely horrible. I mean, we've seen declines in the facilities themselves, sidewalks, paths. I mean, these parks were built decades, if not centuries ago, and is it frustrating for you to see them not live up to their potential?
I think frustrating, in some sense, understates it. I'm as passionate, well, if there's one person more passionate than me about the park system, it's Sue Black. But over the past generation, our parks, to anyone who's been paying attention, it's clear that they are in decline, and again, only due to lack of resources, and in decline despite the superb and award-winning, as you note, management by our current park administration. They just couldn't be better, and they've been nationally recognized for that. But the circumstances are impossible. How can we maintain 15,000 acres of parks and parkways when we rank 75th out of 77th nationally in park workers per 1,000 citizens? You know, we have one-third of the park workers that we had 20 years ago, and yet they're charged with maintaining the same amount of parkland that their predecessors had. And I just think it's unrealistic to expect that this can continue without collapsing. And I think we are too near that precipice not to treat it very, very seriously.
Well, late last year, the county's audit department released a report. It was titled A Tale of Two Cities, and it detailed two different stories within the park system. And it said, while some facilities are really fully restored and state-of-the-art, others are neglected and falling apart. The audit report pegged the deferred maintenance at about $275 million. Are those needs ever going to be addressed?
Well, under the current circumstances, I just can't imagine how. We have to remember that on the back end of this whole process, things are continuing to require maintenance and are essentially falling apart, at least in need of upkeep. That $275 million was also recognized by the Public Policy Forum, a nonpartisan, very objective group. And we proposed solutions to this, of course. The people of our community voted in favor of a referendum in favor of taking the cost of parks and transit off the property tax back in November of 2008.
Yeah, and that passed 52-48%.
Yeah.
And we've seen, I think there was a bill introduced in the state assembly, but that didn't get any traction, really.
Well, reducing property taxes was part of the goal as well, and I think it's something this community wants very badly. Unfortunately, that was opposed. It was opposed by Scott Walker. It was vetoed, in fact, by him. Milwaukee Metropolitan Association of Commerce and the Greater Milwaukee Committee, two of our vaunted business groups in town, lobbied actively to split the issue of transit and parks as it approached the legislative process, and were successful in doing so. And as a result, parks was simply ignored. And they went on to push transit, but to no notable outcome. In fact, we've seen it die within the last week in the assembly, and that was despite, you know, some pretty notable efforts on the part of our state delegation, people like Senator Lena Taylor and Tamara Grigsby and others who worked hard to see that happen, but simply weren't able to push it over the hill.
So are there any alternatives out there? I mean, where do we go from here? We still have needs in the parks.
Well,
is there anything viable that you think can actually happen?
I think the voice of the people remains on the table. And if you're going to choose instead, as the legislature seemed to me to have done, to answer the business community's priorities at the expense of that voice of our electorate, I think it's a bad mistake. The legislature, I'm sure, was reluctant to raise taxes in an election year. That's never an easy thing to do. But the fact is that the result of the referendum stands, the want of the people has been expressed, and it simply awaits legislative action. And I don't expect the governor to call the legislature into special session to act on either of those. But failing to do that and failing legislative actions that will remedy this circumstance, we face in both transit and parks a potential catastrophe.
Those are daunting words there, Supervisor.
Well, I wish I could feel otherwise about it, but ultimately what's at stake here is the quality of life in our community. And the question is, are we willing to pay for that good quality of life and services? You know, there are many communities. I don't mean to pick on Gary, Indiana, but I've been there and seen the weeds growing up through the pavement. And Gary has low taxes, and all you have to do is ask yourself if that's where you'd want to live in a climate like that, that offers few amenities. You know, we haven't even touched on the cultural institutions, which are also part and parcel of what the Committee on Parks, Energy, and Environment has oversight of.
Supervisor Broderick, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
County Board Roundtable coming up next. We're featuring Supervisor Coggs and Schmidt tonight and the county's budget director. This is Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN.